You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, November 3rd, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We made it to the weekend, folks. So glad to have you here. Things are heating up in the world of marijuana. So much news to get to and so much culture that is changing right before our eyes. We've got plenty of it for you here on today's Marijuana Agenda. We'll start things off with the cannabis headline news, as we always do, and of course, the bad news coming out of the great state of Maine, where their governor there, the pot-hating cannabiphobe Paul LePage, has vetoed their legalization bill. You know, they passed marijuana legalization through the state initiative process in 2016, but then that leaves the legislature to write up the regulations, and that's what just got vetoed. We'll tell you all about that in the news, plus some other headlines coming out of Central America. We've also got a friend of ours who's uncovered some amazing journalism in the state of Ohio regarding their push for medical cannabis and legalization. Also, one of our friends, State Senator Harold Jones in Georgia, is trying to get Augusta decriminalized like Atlanta is, so we'll talk about that, plus a great study that is just yet another study showing us that the way out of the opioid overdose crisis is through medical cannabis access. That's all coming up in the news. After that, we've got a very appropriate interview to bring you in the Marijuana Policy Insider, brought to you by Marijuana Policy Project. We've got David Boyer, who is the state director for the state of Maine for Marijuana Policy Project. We talked to him yesterday before LePage had actually made the veto, but it was pretty clear he was going to veto this legislation. So we got David to speak out on that and what the future holds for legalization in the state of Maine. Also on the program today, been waiting for this all week long, my exclusive interview with cannabis comedian, actor Doug Benson is on the program. You know him from The Benson Interruption, from Doug Loves Movies, from Super High Me, his most recent show, The High Court on Comedy Central. We talk about all of that, plus what's it like being a 420 comedian in a post-legalization world. We'll also have Herb Thrasher joining us with the Reefer Rock Review at the end of the show. But first, let's get to the news.
This is your cannabis headline news, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Friday, November 3rd, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. Maine's Governor Paul LePage today vetoed the legislature's bill to regulate commercial marijuana production, distribution, and sales. The Portland Press-Herald reports that in his veto letter, LePage said the conflict with federal law was only one of his concerns about the bill that would launch the state's recreational marijuana market. He said it failed to address the shortcomings of the medical marijuana program, it set up a confusing and costly dual-agency regulatory system, and may not collect enough tax revenue to cover the cost of implementing and regulating the new market. Quote, until I clearly understand how the federal government intends to treat the states that seek to legalize marijuana, I cannot in good conscience support any scheme in state law to implement expansion of legal marijuana in Maine. End quote. The bill now returns to the state legislature, where bill supporters will try Monday to pick up enough extra votes to override LePage's veto. In a new study conducted by Acclara Research, 67% of the patients surveyed indicated that they were able to cease their use of opioid medications once they had access to a state medical marijuana program. Another 29% of the patients were able to reduce their use of opioids, leaving just 1 out of 25 patients, or 4%, whose opioid use was unaffected by marijuana use. This comports with a study released last year in the journal Health Affairs that showed an average of 1,826 fewer doses of painkillers painkillers prescribed annually under Medicare Part D from 2010 to 2013 in the 17 states with a medical marijuana law at the time. Another study in the Journal of Pain found, quote, medical cannabis use was associated with a 64% decrease in opioid use, end quote, among 244 chronic pain patients in the Michigan medical marijuana program. More incredibly, 30% of the patients surveyed by Acclara indicated they were able to cease use of all prescription drugs after they started using medical cannabis. For the patients who swapped the use of cannabis for prescription pill usage, over 60% reported making fewer trips to the pharmacist. The Central American nation of Belize became the latest to decriminalize the personal possession of cannabis. Breaking Belize News reports that the amendment to the Misuse of Drugs Bill was officially signed into law. The bill was introduced in Parliament in August by the government of Belize and is to, quote, decriminalize the possession of cannabis in amounts not exceeding 10 grams, to provide for the imposition of monetary and non-recordable penalties for the possession of cannabis in such amounts occurring on school premises, in specified circumstances, to decriminalize the smoking of cannabis on private premises, end quote. However, people still cannot grow, buy, or import or sell marijuana. The amendment now legalizes marijuana for medicinal preparations, but also with no legal way for patients to access the medicine. In a remarkable four-part investigation published on Huffington Post, independent cannabis journalist Angela Baca uncovers the corruption and infighting in Ohio leading up to a hamstrung medical marijuana law that benefits a few wealthy investors. The series, called As Goes Ohio, So Goes the Nation, Inside Ohio's Corrupt Medical Marijuana Rollout, Baca meticulously documents the internecine battles between Ohio's grassroots activist groups fighting for rights-based language to achieve medical marijuana legalization, the entrance of the Responsible Ohio team and its wildly unpopular scheme to write its investors into the state constitution as the sole cannabis growers, and the departure of Marijuana Policy Project's efforts to pass a citizens' medical marijuana initiative once the Ohio legislature formulated a restrictive, no-home-grow, no-herb-smoking medical marijuana law. Also included is an investigation into the pharmaceutical companies backing the country's leading anti-legalization organization, Kevin Sabet's Project SAM. Today, the Ohio Department of Commerce announced the first 11 companies that will grow medical marijuana in the state's new program. Georgia State Senator Harold Jones was in Augusta Thursday talking with News 12 about decriminalization for the city, similar to how Atlanta recently ended arrests for marijuana possession. Jones says it's the county's marijuana ordinance he says must be addressed because right now the language uses the word any marijuana. It treats the punishment for a gram the same as a pound. What Jones is proposing at the state level, which would impact counties statewide, is that the possession under half an ounce of marijuana would mean no jail time and no more than a $300 fine. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Friday, November 3rd, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you appreciate my full-time dedication to reporting and analyzing the news about cannabis, consider becoming a patron of the show. For just $4.20 per month, you'll help keep my live stream and podcast free while earning yourself your own private ad-free podcast link for the show, as well as links to the supporting articles and data. For a $9.99 VIP subscription, you'll get all that plus my exclusive research, data tables, and graphics. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button today.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the liberal agenda, but with profits. Ka-ching.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
This is Marijuana Policy Insider, brought to you by the Marijuana Policy Project at MPP.org. MPP is the nation's largest marijuana policy organization, promoting sensible marijuana policy reform in Congress, in state legislatures, and through state and local ballot initiatives. Today, we take a look at the most recent state and federal reform efforts with the Marijuana Policy Insider.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Marijuana Policy Insider, the podcast for Marijuana Policy Project. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have the Maine political director for the Marijuana Policy Project, the state of Maine, and that would be David Boyer. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going really well, and interesting to talk about what's going on in Maine today, because, of course, you were one of the 4 out of 5 states that passed a legalization initiative in 2016, but then the legislature got a hold of it. Give our listeners a kind of a peek at what's going on there, because when we were first reporting on Maine, we were all excited about the big limits and the social clubs and all the low taxes, and it really looked like a great legalization bill. What happened?
Well, it's still pretty good. Essentially, you know, we passed this last November, and since then, the legislature created a special committee to work on this new law and make tweaks to the initiative. Unfortunately, the initiative process, the citizen initiative process here in Maine, hasn't been too respected by the legislature this session. Some of the other initiatives like the ranked choice voting and a 3% surcharge on the wealthiest, they kind of been gutted or delayed. So it's unfortunate. Nonetheless, they created this committee and heard from stakeholders, activists, patients, those in the industry, experts. Andrew Friedman from Colorado came by and essentially kind of rewrote the law, and we think overall for the better. There's some stuff that gives us heartburn for sure. The delay, the additional year delay of social clubs, we were not supportive of, and we don't think the tax rate should be any higher than 20%. They seem to have stopped at 20%, which is good considering that's where Massachusetts has landed. And while it is more than what was originally in the initiative, you know, looking at these other legal states, Colorado, Oregon, the price of legal marijuana has gone down and they have higher tax rates. So I don't think it'll be, I don't think it'll encourage the illicit market, in Maine at least. And so this committee, they released their bill a couple weeks ago, and we supported it. It passed in the Maine House and the Maine Senate, but the governor, and that was about 2 weeks ago, the governor now has it on his desk, and he's probably going to veto it, unfortunately, because it's a good bill that's bipartisan, you know, the legislature worked on and it passed. And you know, the governor said when he was running for re-election in 2014 that he would not get in the way of legalization, that he would be for legalization if it was done through referendum. He that answer to that question during the debate made him the most cannabis friendly gubernatorial candidate in 2014 in Maine, which
remarkable.
If you know anything about Paul LePage in Maine, then that's remarkable. Yet I know folks that voted for him just off the strength of that answer, and it's disappointing to see him most likely walk back on those comments. It's, I guess, typical for politicians to break promises, but doesn't make it any better when they do. So we're going to see if he vetoes, and then the legislature could come back for veto day, where you override the governor as early as next week. And so we need 2/3 of those present to override the governor and make sure this bill becomes law. It'll be a close vote. The House Republicans are kind of split on this issue, so it will be close. But it's hunting season, so maybe a couple of members stay home. You know, so we'll see if it passes. If we override, if we don't, it's still going to be a tough road in Maine, unfortunately, because we are starting to get, you know, a real palatable feeling that the governor is going to do everything he can to obstruct, even if we do override him. It could be delayed significantly. He's out of office, you know, at the end of next year. We have a new campaign here for governor in 2018. So it's just really unfortunate. And, you know, we passed it the same November as Massachusetts, as Nevada, It's California. And, you know, before all this, we were last. And now we're going to go from last to dead last, potentially. You look at California, they have the temporary business licenses for January. Nevada had early sales. They're already making millions in tax revenue and giving adults a legal place to purchase marijuana. Massachusetts hopefully is up by this summer. So we won't be up next year, I don't think, at this point, which is really disappointing. Yeah. But thankfully, it's still legal, and you can still grow your own. You know, grow your own. So that's, I think, you know, the biggest thing with any legalization law is possession and cultivation, and we're working on it.
and those limits didn't get changed by the legislature. The 2.5 ounces, 12 plants.
The possession limit did not change, so it's 2.5 ounces. They do propose a limit of 12 plants per parcel, 12 flowering. You can have more immature and seedlings. There was no cap in the initiative per parcel. So if you had 3 or 4 adults over 21, you could have 18 or 24 mature plants at a residence. But they did want to cap that at 12. So that was another thing that gave us a little heartburn about the compromise, this omnibus regulation bill. But looking at it, was still, you know, on the liberal side compared to other states, compared to Washington, which I don't believe even has home cultivation still.
Right.
So, you know, and if it didn't apply to medical at all, they didn't change medical at all. Patients were exempted from that. So the silver lining is if we don't, you know, override the governor, is that you can there's no limit on the home grow plans, we would still probably give that up just to get this market up and going. And there was some violence in the illicit market here in Maine from over a marijuana dispute. So it still happens. It's still dangerous. The residual prohibition is still affecting us, and we do want to see adults have a legal place to purchase marijuana.
Does Governor LePage talk about what his objections are, what he'd like to see happen? What's causing him to want to veto this?
He didn't really participate in the process over the 7 months of this committee working on it. His agencies really didn't give much input to help guide the process. So that was tough, especially for those on the committee to, like, you know, try to, you know, to go in the dark as to what the executive wants. And, you know, the executive's in charge of these agencies. So ideally, in a perfect world, there'd be some coordination and collaboration to make sure everyone's kind of happy. But he didn't. And that was the first kind of indication, I think. And his he doesn't talk to the press much other than talk radio. But what we've heard is some stuff about, you know, it's federally illegal. He swore an oath on the Constitution, but I don't really know where Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution talks about marijuana prohibition. it's kind of just pretty frustrating. You know, the governor has no problem bucking the feds when Obama's in charge. When it comes to expanding Medicare, Medicaid, which, you know, personally I agree with them on, but when it comes to marijuana, then we have to listen to the feds and we're subservient and we have no power and the 10th Amendment doesn't exist. Right. So, you know, some consistency from limited government Republicans would be nice. So he's talked about that. He's talked about the medical program as well. He'll probably mention that in his veto message, that there's no, he doesn't see the rationale of having these two SIFs, these two, you know, adult use and medical in tandem, in parallel. We do to some extent when we're talking about pediatric patients, when we're talking about tax rate, when we're talking about, you know, dosage limitations for edibles. Maybe that shouldn't apply to patients who need as much as they can get in one bite of an edible. But he has a problem with that. He's not without merit, I think. The caregiving system in Maine has gotten a little out of hand. It's not a, you know, popular thing to raise with the community, the movement here in Maine. but I think the caregiving system has kind of morphed into something that it originally wasn't, and some of those laws are still there from, you know, 99 and 2009, when caregivers were supposed to, you know, help a couple patients and grow, you know, up to, you know, 20, 30 plants at home. Well, the caregivers did that, and then they have all this, that's a lot of marijuana for five patients, so they have a revolving patient slot that they use, and that's pretty much within the law, but some folks, like the governor, don't like how it's operating. The irony is this, in all of this, is that if, you know, these House Republicans, if you don't like marijuana, if you voted no on question one last fall, then you should support the marijuana bill, the work the committee's done, and override the governor, because there's more protections like school buffer zones, and it doesn't allow for delivery or drive through, which I think makes sense. I think it's good to keep the roads safer that way, but you know, that's a little bit more progressive than the committee was willing to go. But if you're a Republican, then you like it, right? So we like to see them to vote for it. And if you have a problem with the medical program, well, the caregivers, they can open up in these towns, and the towns really have no control over it. The towns do have control over the adult use program, so they should encourage the caregivers to move into the adult use market that want to, and then the towns will have more control. So it's really an evolving process, and, you know, we could have marijuana shops open the beginning of 2019 or the end of 2019. There's a lot of balls in the air right now.
Well, we'll keep an eye on what's happening in the state of Maine and refer back to you, David, when we get some more information. Let's give our listeners a chance to look some of this stuff up if they want to get more informed. If you've got some Facebook pages, websites, or contact information they could use.
Sure. Good idea, Russ. Thanks. Well, mpp.org/Maine. Make sure that's a lowercase Maine to get to the page. That has some information. And then Yes on One, Regulate and Tax Marijuana, our Facebook page is available, and that has some information, including links to reach out to your legislator if you are a Mainer listening in today.
That's right. David Boyer, the Maine Political Director for Marijuana Policy Project, thanks for joining us here on the Marijuana Policy Insider.
Anytime. Thank you.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the alcohol agenda. But a lot safer.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville. Join me as I cover the Marijuana Agenda at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference the weekend of November 18th and 19th in beautiful Ashland, Oregon. The OMBC is Oregon's biggest and longest-running conference dedicated to the cannabis industry and marijuana activism. You'll hear an extended interview with influential state Senator Floyd Prezansky, a VIP reception and keynote address from the legendary Henry Rollins, and a free after-party featuring music from Hieroglyphics and Souls of Mischief. Plus, you'll get information from 40 industry exhibitor booths and be able to question members of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission regarding cannabis issues they'll be ruling on. Visit OregonMBC.com to learn more and book your tickets now. That's OregonMBC.com for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. We'll see you there.
The The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome, everyone, to an extended edition of the Cannabis Community Chat. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we've got one of our favorite guests. You know him, you love him, you can't get enough of him. He's the host of Doug Loves Movies podcast. You've seen him on The High Court, on Comedy Central. You've seen him in the movie Super High Me, or heard him as the voice of Bane in the Lego Batman movie. It's Doug Benson, who's going to be appearing at the International Cannabis Business Conference in Hawaii, December 1st through the 3rd. He's hosting the VIP reception. Morgan Heritage is playing the after party. It's going to be an amazing event. Doug Benson, how are
How's
you today?
How's it going?
I'm doing good. It's great to talk to you again. I met you a few years ago at the world-famous Cannabis Cafe here in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, back in the day when we had such a thing.
Right. So, I guess there's less call for it now?
Well, yeah, and that's something, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about as well, is with legalization, how things have changed. We used to have cannabis cups and cannabis cafes up here in the Pacific Northwest, and since we legalized, they've kind of gone away. It's a little weird, man.
Yeah, that is weird.
So, how about on your side of things, when you're, you're well known for being cannabis comedian and all of that, has legalization changed things from your perspective?
It does feel a little bit like there's certainly less excitement or fever for the idea of, oh, this guy is going to talk about marijuana, or this guy, you know, smokes a ton of weed and then comes out on stage, and, people are more, relaxed about it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not so shocking anymore.
Yeah, and it's funny because there was always, along the way in my career, the more and more I made marijuana a part of my act and my life, the more I'd hear from people saying, part of the reason that it's everybody likes it so much is because the excitement of it not being legal. And, I always thought that was silly, especially when it comes to smoking marijuana. Like, people are certainly not less interested in it now that it's legal. I'm sure there's even more people smoking than ever, especially ones that are willing to admit it. But in terms of comedy, it has kind of shifted a little bit in that it seems like the novelty sort of worn off a little bit.
Is that mostly in the states where they've made changes, like California, the rest of the West Coast? I mean, do you still get some people that are shocked and amazed by it, say, in Alabama?
Yeah, and they're not as much shocked by it. It's just they're just sort of, they're still sort of excited about the idea of but these places that I come from. You know, when I come from California, it just seems like such a mystical land to some people. Like, some people say, oh, it's never going to be legal in our state, or you'll never come play our town because we're in a place where it's not going to be legal. And, before legalization started happening everywhere and since, I've been happy to go anywhere because, as a fairly discreet white male with money, I can pretty much smoke weed anywhere I go and get away with it. I still feel a little bit of that, like, this is illegal here. I should be careful. But it's certainly, especially if you look at the national polling numbers, like, people are just pretty accepting of it these days.
Yeah, it seems like the shock factor is kind of wearing off. And that leads me into another avenue of questions I wanted to get to you. And that is, you're well known for doing the Doug Loves Movies podcast, and you're a big fan of movies and TV and that sort of media. And, back in the day, even just a decade ago, Showtime comes out with Weeds, and it's big shock, a story about someone selling pot. And now, Netflix comes out with Disjointed, and it just seems kind of passe. What do you think about the media's treatment, TV and movies treatment of marijuana these days post-legalization?
Well, it feels like I haven't watched Disjointed because I've had too many people tell me that it would make me unhappy, because it's kind of like it feels like having a something taking place in a dispensary, and but there's a live audience just laughing at everything everybody says. Just like I said, I haven't seen the show, but it feels like it would ring incredibly false. But in terms of the overall treatment in the media, I think it's great that more movies and TV shows are tackling it. It's kind of interesting that it's still, if you have anybody smoking pot in a movie, it automatically, I think, knocks it up to maybe PG-13, and if there's a lot of it, even an R rating, even though chances are, it is a legal activity in whatever place the film takes place. But my biggest beef is that, like, AMC's Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is like the most, successful weekly television program on TV right now, or at least it was the last time I looked. And these people are living in the apocalypse, and they're going around scavenging and getting everything they can find and then using it to survive. And no one has ever talked about or smoked marijuana on the show. And it just seems like that would be a great time for there to be a character that's like excited to be able to smoke all the weed, or maybe upset that the zombies are keeping him from the weed,
Or what do you know? They find out that cannabinoids actually kill the walkers, and they start shooting them with weed.
Yeah, that would be great, But or maybe makes them less. It's got the opposite effect. It makes them less hungry. They're less hungry for flesh if they just smoke a little weed. So. So that's kind of frustrating to me, because I do love that show, but it's been how many seasons now? Like 7 or 8 seasons, and it just doesn't even come up. And also, that's part of the reason I bet it's never come up is because the network and the show kind of considers themselves family entertainment, even though it's got all this murder and mayhem every week,
Yeah. Interesting that we can see the blood and viscera, but someone smoking a joint, we want to keep the kids from that. Oh my goodness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another thing that's on my mind that I wanted to bring up with you is, we've been hearing a lot coming out of Hollywood with the Weinstein scandal and sexual harassment and all of that going on. And aside from, the Hollywood aspect of that, I'm also curious about the comedy aspect of that. Is this a problem in stand-up comedy, in the comedy circuit, like it is in Hollywood, this sexual harassment?
Well, I imagine that, of course, it is. That's the thing about it is that we're going to find out in more and more places, more worlds, where men who have some power, and in some cases women, and in some cases gay men, like we just found out with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Like it's the people with that kind of power are unfortunately going to abuse it. So like in the case of comedy, I think, every woman in comedy probably has plenty of stories about being harassed, and not only by audiences, but by other comedians that are more successful than them, club owners. I'm sure that stuff like that, could potentially come out. I mean, it just seems like the floodgates have opened in terms of nobody that's got, been doing stuff like that is going to, it's going to be harder to get away with it. And more people are going to share their stories.
Yeah, it's something we all need to be paying attention to and definitely taking the word of the people who are coming out and making these claims, and it's something that definitely needs to change. The other thing about Hollywood that's been in the news a lot lately is the idea of diversity in Hollywood. A couple of years ago, the hashtag was Oscars so white. Seems to have gotten a little bit better, but as you're, you see far, far more movies than I do. What do you think of that situation? Is it improving? Has it just been a little bit of window dressing, or is it truly getting better?
It's improving in too slowly, though, because the the basic problem is the people producing and directing most movies are just white men. It's just they're not, there's, you know, maybe 2% of all the directors are women and maybe 10% of all the producers, something, you know, very, very low, sad numbers. And for people of color as well, just the more people that are, you know, making these movies that are women or people of color, the more of them they can hire and work with and you know, tell their stories. Certainly Wonder Woman was a great breakthrough, that was one of the most popular movies this year. And it's, you know, and it's all about a woman, you know, at least it wasn't that... that silly backlash that the all-female Ghostbusters, you know, got. Like, that was, I thought that was ridiculous. I think any man who's mad about it is just also, it's just sexist to be mad about it. but yeah, it's definitely getting better, but there's still a long way to go.
Just kind of a fantasy question here for you. Marvel Cinematic Universe versus DC Universe. A, which one's cooler, and B, which character would you most want to smoke a joint with?
Well,
probably
I am
not
actually
Flash. Not the Flash. He'd go through all that shit too fast, right?
Well, yeah, and he also doesn't he doesn't stick around to share. You know, you
That's
pass
right.
the joint and then he's gone. but I'd have to say I'm the voice of Bane in the Lego Batman movie. And so that would definitely be my choice, is to see if Bane could even smoke with that mask that he's got on his face.
You have to have a special like adapter or something, I suppose.
yeah. And also would that mellow him out and make him not a bad guy anymore?
Yeah, we ought to see what weed does to the Hulk as well, and maybe chill him out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about your career a little bit. Last I saw on Comedy Central, you were doing The High Court, and it's kind of amazing to me. You know, we've come to an era now where people are actually smoking weed on TV and talking about it. Did that shock and surprise you, and is there more of that coming?
Well, I hope there's more coming. The you know, after the initial run of The High Court, it became very clear that we're still in a not in a great place when it comes to you know, genuinely consuming marijuana on television. Comedy Central had trouble securing, you know, big sponsors and big advertisers, you know, the kinds they're accustomed to for all of their other shows, you know, like South Park and Daily Show and what have you. So that was one of a few reasons that they, you know, they gave me for you know, not picking up the show. And then I see other shows where, you know, like there's a channel Vice. They're definitely, you know, fully immersed in weed culture, and it's a great network. But you know, pretty much everywhere else that's got, you know, that's advertiser television, they may talk about smoking weed, but they're not showing it. And if they do, it's you know, it's just pretend, you know, it's just some sort of fake weed that they smoke for the cameras. So so that's frustrating that we're still not there on that, but at the same time, just the fact that you know, I got a show like that on at all without too much pushback from the network. The main thing they were concerned about was safety, so we came up with all these inside the soundstage where we shot the show, we came up with all of these ways to make it so that no one was, nobody that maybe didn't want to get high was anywhere near the weed whenever we'd smoke it. And then they also had this complex ventilation system so that even though it was a gigantic soundstage, people were worried that, you know, it would get hotboxed and people would get a contact high. And so, you know, they went to a lot of trouble to make sure that it was done safely. And then we also had a big, long disclaimer at the top of the show that said, you know, hey, what we're doing here is legal in this state. You know, we're not breaking state law.
I'm imagining the old Get Smart cones of silence coming down around you to keep your pot smoking you.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that, you know, I just wanted to fully commit to getting pot smoking on television So I was very adamant, because it occasionally came up, hey, do we have to see the pot smoking? Can we just imply that it happened or say that it happened? And I was just very clear that I wanted it to happen on television, but that may have been, the, you know, in terms of long-term employment, that may have been my biggest mistake. Because if we had just said, we're going to the deliberation room, and then winked and left the room and then came back, I don't know. It could potentially still be a show on TV.
Or play that, you know, pan the camera around the circle like they did on That 70s Show.
Yeah, they got away with that for their, you know, the whole run of their show. It was clear what was going on. They even had Tommy Chong in the circle sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. That's definitely a giveaway. So you're out on tour, of course, almost all the time, and people are going to, you know, be coming to your shows. What are you getting different reactions nowadays under legalization? Does the heckling change? Is anything different for you as a comedian trying to work in the legalization world?
Well, people will occasionally throw some marijuana up onto the stage, which I can't complain about.
Not so bad.
I enjoy that part of it. I'd say the heckling might be just, there might be some enthusiastic people that are, maybe come to my show more because they're excited about marijuana than specifically me or my comedy. But then the greatest thing that still exists is, if it's at all possible for me to step outside the club into some sort of alley or something after the show, because I still haven't encountered any, comedy clubs that legally they can't have weed smoking and alcohol in the same facility. Pretty much in all the states that have legalized it, they made that's part of the deal. And unfortunately, comedy clubs make all their money from the selling alcohol part of it. So since there's no venues that I can really, smoke with the fans in, like I was saying, I step outside and, pretty much every show I do, there's some people out there, and we have a nice little, session.
That's very good to hear. So looking forward in your career here, what can we look forward to coming out as far as you were in the Lego Batman movie you mentioned with the voiceover? Any more voiceover or acting work in the films we should be looking forward to?
I'm doing, I have a very small part in a indie film that's gotten some great reviews and some awards. It's called Mr. Roosevelt, and it's slowly opening across the country now, and then it'll be on Netflix towards the end of the year. And there's this funny thing that's been happening on the show You're the Worst on FXX, where the creator of that show, I've known him for a little while. He used to work on the show Weeds. And then he created You're the Worst, and he came up with this idea to have me come on the show as myself. I play Doug Benson, but the joke is whenever you see me, I'm wearing a suit and I'm running a huge corporation, and the whole weed smoking thing is just sort of like a gimmick that got me there, and I'm not really the pothead that I, pretend to be in my life and my comedy.
Yeah.
So it's a total like bizarro, anti Doug Benson, and the lines they give me are really funny. And then I appear a few times throughout this season of the show that's currently running. And then an episode that hasn't aired yet, you actually see me stoned and, behaving like I'm high, because one of the characters, catches me at home instead of at the office.
Uh-huh. It sounds
that's
like
pretty
that,
funny.
It sounds
and
like
then,
that.
And I'm always trying to get new ideas and series and movie stuff. I'm always trying to get different things off the ground, and we're still continuing with my internet show, Getting Doug with High. We still make approximately one a week of that for YouTube, and it also plays on Pluto TV now, which is a growing thing that apparently young people watch a lot of, but I'm barely familiar with it.
Right on. So, Doug, as we wind this thing up and about to let you go, I want to make sure we get to this question. You've seen a lot of movies, as we've mentioned before. In your estimation, what are the best and worst movies when it comes to not just being about pot, but their depictions of pot and pot users? Anything come to mind?
Well, you know, best is any movie where people just, you know, casually smoke weed and enjoy themselves, and it's, you know, and it's just portrayed in a positive manner. Like, you have to go back to movies like Poltergeist and 9 to 5. Both have, like, kind of famous, you know, adults just smoking weed and giggling and having a nice time sequences. But these movies lately where it's, you know, sort of about marijuana, like some of the most popular ones of all time, the go-to answer is, if somebody says, you know, what are the great pot movies? People say, you know, Dazed and Confused. They say Pineapple Express, and they say Half-Baked. But what they leave out is that in Dazed and Confused, there's bullies that are hassling kids throughout the entire film. And in Pineapple Express, gets extremely violent. All the characters are very violent to each other, even though it's you know, supposed to be a weed movie. And then Half-Baked, the hero of the movie, Dave Chappelle's character, quits smoking weed at the end of the movie for his girlfriend, and that's supposed to be a happy ending, that he's
right.
not doing it just for her. And then he winks at the camera, so good for him on that, I say. But, you know, it's probably part of the thing to get the movie made, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
But so I don't really have, like, a do you have one? Is there one where that's more recent where pot is depicted in a positive way?
I'm thinking of that. I can't remember. Was it called It's Complicated? Steve Martin,
yes,
Meryl Streep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, they smoked pot pretty casually in that movie, and I was very happy to see it at the time. But that movie's probably a good 10 years old at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We've seen, you know, Adventureland. Kristen Stewart was in that show, but that was more like a show about potheads itself. So I don't know if that was so casual necessarily. Those are the ones that come to mind for me, actually. So as we, one last question for you, Doug, I know you've got to go. One of the other most famous Hollywood stoners out there, Woody Harrelson, it's been revealed he's quit for about the past 18 months. Have you had a similar long period where you've gone without weed? And what do you think about Woody's choice?
You know, I'm happy for anybody that decides it's going to be better for them if they quit. A comedian friend of mine named Ron Funches decided to take October off, and he was like an all-day, everyday smoker.
And, we know Ron.
You know, he's been tweeting about his experience, and a lot of it is, you know, not happy that he can't have weed, but on the other hand, it's showing that it's, you know, it's just not as addictive as everyone who's against marijuana likes to claim it is.
Sure.
And that if you, you know, if you desire to stop, if you want to feel less of the things that marijuana makes you feel, you know, you can. And then, of course, on the other hand, marijuana has helped people I know get off of alcohol and pills and other things that they, you know, shouldn't be doing. So I personally have not had a break in a very long time. I'll have days where I, you know, don't smoke because I try not to operate a motor vehicle after I smoke weed. But fortunately, with you know, walking or ride sharing, you know, I'm able to you know, get around and do stuff if I, you know, choose to get high before, you know, leaving the house. But so some days I'll go, you know, maybe 6-7 hours, not to mention if I'm working on a movie set or something and I have a lot of dialogue, you know, it's probably best for me not to get too high because I got to, you know, remember my lines. But, you know, good for Woody Harrelson. Good for, you know, there was that point where Snoop Dogg said he was out, but then it turned out that he wasn't really, but he said it just because, you know, it's always a not only a good PR move, but if you're, you know, if you're somebody like Woody Harrelson, you don't want to worry that that people are going to not hire you because they just think you're a pothead.
Yeah.
You know, and that you're going to show up high and ruin everything. But he's been such a good actor in so many things for so long. I can't imagine that it was ever a problem for him on set. But I'm also fine with him quitting, and I'm also fine with him, starting back up again someday.
Well, if Woody Harrelson ain't smoking, that's just more for you and me, right?
Exactly.
That's the way we potheads think. Doug Benson, it's always a joy talking to you. Folks, check him out. Twitter handles at Doug Benson. And don't forget that Doug will be appearing at the VIP reception for the International Cannabis Business Conference in Hawaii. Check it out at International Cannabis Business Conference online, intlcbc.com. And get your flight to Hawaii and hang out with Doug. We appreciate you coming on to the Marijuana Agenda and talking to us.
Thanks, dude.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We need to say, as Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Don't do it. There's no excuse for this.
Okay, maybe you're a little high. After 5 years of legal marijuana in Colorado and Washington, both states have shown no increase in teen use of marijuana and decreases in marijuana DUI arrests, while generating tens of thousands of jobs and hundreds of millions in tax revenue. Legalization is no longer a theory. It's a proven public policy benefit. Tell your elected officials it's time to end adult marijuana prohibition. As we prepare for the weekend, we remember that the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition is as much about culture as it is about criminal justice. Music has always been at the forefront of revolution, and the marijuana movement is no different. Join us as we visit with Herb Thrasher, program manager at 420radio.org, for this edition of Reefer Rock Review.
All right, time for us to sit down with Herb Thrasher and find out what's going on in the world of reefer rock. He's got the latest for us on Zebra, their 35th anniversary, and, of course, everything that's happening. Herb Thrasher, what's happening there at 420 Radio?
What's up, everyone? Herb Thrasher hanging out here in the Rolla J Studios, bringing you today's November 3rd, 2017 Reefer Rock Report, held right here exclusively on the marijuanaagenda.com. Hope everyone had a great Halloween. Coming off of Halloween here in Portland means we're coming off of the Oregon Dope Cup 2017, held here in Portland at the Staver Locomotive Warehouse on a great grounds, a great campus, plenty of room, and it saw the likes headlining by musical guest Warren G. Had a great vendor village, had a great kind of Day of the Dead theme. Lots of patrons walking around, skeleton faces, great costumes, a lot of great vendors were also there. Great vendor village. Willie's Reserve was there, along with other great vendors, Greenleaf Labs and Leap Farms. sponsored the Growers Lounge. And then just met a lot of people, saw a lot of great friends there. You know, these dope cups and High Times cups and cannabis cups. And it's just become a big deal in our industry now that we have been legalized for a few years in a few states. And as we continue to get bigger and bigger, events like this continue to be fun as well. So shout out to Warren G., making the trip up to Portland and supporting another great Oregon Dope Cup. Not sure if the results are listed or not. You can try to find them. I've tried to find them myself and haven't yet. But you can find pictures on the 420 Radio Facebook page. So go there and check out a little bit on the Oregon Dope Cup. And be prepared to support cannabis industry venues and events just like the Oregon Dope Cup. All right, let's get to some music. That's right, legendary rockers Zebra will be celebrating their 35th anniversary with a debut album, and also a West Coast mini tour. We'll be hitting San Diego, Hollywood, Las Vegas, and Scottsdale, Arizona in February 2018. So look for legendary rockers Zebra to hit a four-night show. And you know, who knows? Who knows what that can turn into after as well. All right, let's get to Prophets of Rage. That's right, they released their brand new self-titled album, Prophets of Rage, back on September 15th. So looking forward to that as well. It was a great album, had many great songs on it. And, you know, coming off of Rage Against the Machine, and now you have Prophets of Rage, basically the same three without Zach. Although, now, they have added two new singers, and you guys know definitely who these guys are. So, shout out to Cypress Hill's Be Real and Chuck D from Public Enemy. Album is great, features many great tunes. They've been supporting singles since the beginning of the album release back in September 15th. Tonight, on November 3rd, you can tune in to a concert special from the AT&T Audience Network via DirecTV, channel 239, AT&T Universe, channel 1014, and on demand through DirecTV. Airing tonight at 6 p.m., a one-hour special featuring live concert shot footage from six festivals around the world. So shout out to Prophets of Rage. And you know, recent reports from Tom Morello is this is a band. And it's gonna stay. All right, let's get to a birthday. Speaking of Prophets of Rage, today on November 3rd, 1992, Rage Against the Machine released their legendary album, Rage Against the Machine. So many great tunes. Know Your Enemy, Bullet in the Head, and the classic that you still hear on the radio today, Killing in the Name of. So, everyone knows this album. Everyone basically knows Rage Against the Machine. Go ahead and give that album a spin today and go back and reminisce those great 90s rock. All right, there's your Reefer Rock Report for today, November 3rd, 2017, right here on the Marijuana Agenda. .com. We'll be back next Friday. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks Herb Thrasher for joining us here from 420 Radio. And of course, the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour is on every Friday night live on 420radio.org. You can catch Herb tonight with some great rock. I'm sure he'll be playing some of that Rage Against the Machine for you and all the newest in stoner rock. Followed by Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink at 10 p.m. if you like the deep funk tracks coming out of South Carolina and Big Daddy Fink. all on 420radio.org. And folks, that's all the time we got for today's show and for this week. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with more news and views you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. We'll see you next time. Take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You think you're sweet, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.